Security holes in the Java software used on Nokia S40 handsets could let hackers take control of the phone. Welcome to ComputerWeekly.com podcasts, where you can download and listen to interviews with leading experts on key topics of IT management and technology. Hello, this is Cliff Saran, and in today's interview I'm speaking to Adam Godiak, founder and chief executive officer of Polish security startup Security Explorations. Adam has spent the last 6 months looking at the security issues relating to the popular Nokia S40 handset.
What have you found with the Nokia mobile phone?
In the results of our investigations, we were able to find several critical issues in mobile Java technology and in Nokia Series 40 handset. So these are two different categories of issues. The first one regarding mobile Java. These issues simply allow to completely break Java security. As a result, malicious users are able to simply prepare Java applications that can completely bypass security of the Java technology on the handset. When it comes to the second category of issues, these are vulnerabilities directly affecting Nokia handset, the so-called Series 40 family. So it's not a smartphone. It's not very, you know, very rich technology. I mean, these handsets are very complex and you can do a lot of things with them.
Okay. So Adam, now let's start with the problem with the S40. Where are the problems occurring on this phone?
Yeah, so what I basically found is that, you know, remote users can send a properly crafted sequence of messages to a Series 40 phone. I mean, we tested a couple of phones, so we can just make a conclusion that this issue simply affects the majority of Series 40 phones, but the final word, of course, belongs to Nokia Corporation. So what we found is that by sending a properly crafted sequence of messages, malicious users can deploy and execute Java applications on these phones. So when you combine these issues with the issues in mobile Java, the total impact is that remote and unauthenticated users can deploy and execute malicious Java applications on Nokia Series 40 phones.
Okay, then I understand that. Now, are you saying then that someone could send some messages via WAP or SMS or multimedia messaging and actually cause this phone to be compromised in terms of its security?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we found, and that's what we verified, that this is the thing that can take place.
And this relates to the software on the Nokia phone, but you also mentioned that there is a problem with mobile Java. Now, how are the two related?
So the Nokia problem simply can be used as an attack vector for mobile Java issues. So the issues in Nokia Series 40 phones can be simply exploited to deliver malicious Java application to the Nokia phone. That's the attack vector. And the issues in mobile Java can be simply exploited to completely break security of the phone. So that's more or less the relationship between these issues.
I see. Now, you've been looking at mobile Java for quite a long time. Can you tell me about why it has been an area of research for you that you've specifically focused on?
The irony with regard to this project I've conducted for the last 6 months is that it started with Nokia Series 40 and some issues that I was able to spot there. So then, in the result of the investigation, I simply came across mobile Java issues. You know, my interest in Java technology started somewhere back in 1999. So it wasn't just mobile Java. In 1999, I was able to spot some issues in desktop Java. Then in 2002, I believe, there were some issues in desktop Java again. 2004, mobile Java. 2005, about 24 issues in J2SE, which is desktop Java. So, you know, I'm sort of hooked to Java technology in general. I can't just say that this is mobile Java, but you know, Java is quite challenging to break. It's not really easy to break it. I mean, you know, one can, of course, try to find a buffer overflow there, but buffer overflows are not pretty useful in the context of Java technology. I mean, useful, maybe useful is not the right word here, but from the point of view of the reliability of exploitation and successful attack, not only Java, though. So yeah, I try to focus on challenging technologies and on technologies that are used by you know, many people in the world.
Now, I think one of the issues that came out in the last few days was that from your website, it looks that you'll be recouping some of your investment by selling the research on to interested parties. This does seem a sort of different approach to, I guess, what our other sort of researchers would do. Can you give me the background to that?
I founded a company, and you know, my ambition is to conduct vendor-free and biased and quality security research. And of course, in order to do that, one needs funds. We are great bug hunters, and we do this very well. We had great achievements in the past with regard to this area, and we simply want to proceed with our passion in the future, and we want to do this what we like. And we want to create a cutting-edge, world-class security research center in Poland, and for that purpose, we need funds. So we came with an idea to gather funds partly by selling the results of our research. And what's probably important here is that we do not sell information about security vulnerabilities to vendors because people do not quite understand this. So we provide vendors with information about the security vulnerabilities that we find in their products. They are delivered with the so-called vulnerability notices. And these notices contain brief information about the vulnerabilities we are able to spot in their product, software, or technology. What we offer on a fee basis is a comprehensive analysis and research report which discusses in a very detail all technological aspects of our research, of our findings. We simply try to say in a very detail the issues that we found. Vendors can sign up for our security research program because this is the program through which we offer the results of our research. But they do not need to because, you know, every vendor has its own security and engineering resources, and there are smart people working at every vendor, and they can simply take the information that we have sent them, the basic information about security vulnerabilities, and proceed with their own analysis. But if they want to save time, they of course can sign up for our program and can receive every piece of the research that we have conducted. So that's basically the idea and the way our security research program operates.
Obviously, you have to publish some information to let people know that there is a security issue with the device or with what you have found in Java or whatever going forward. How does that fit in your opinion, with responsible disclosure?
Well, you know, responsible disclosure is probably the term which was introduced by vendors because, you know, everyone knows that these are vendors who have some kind of interest in not having security bugs published to the public. And they simply want to have time to deal with the bugs, to con customers and things like that. So our stance on this is the following. You know, we believe that people deserve to know about serious security threats that affect, you know, hundreds of millions of people and the devices that they use every day. So we haven't published any details regarding our findings. We just issued a public warning to the internet community that there are certain risks regarding mobile Java and Nokia Series 40 devices. So we believe that by publishing this warning, users can simply be more worried of what kind of threat the use of these, you know, everyday devices can bring. And you know, we personally prefer to know about a given threat. When we deliver information, for example, to a vendor, we don't know what circles receive that information as well, whether this is just a vendor or whether these are any third party. So we prefer to also, you know, issue some public warning to the world that, you know, there is certain risk regarding, you know, some technology. We deliver the details, brief details to the vendor on the very same day. The vendor can start working on the patches and proceed with fixing of the issues. And we do not deliver the very gory details to the public, but we do we do offer the details on a fee basis to some professional companies from the antivirus, security, telecommunication and government fields.
Okay, now finally, so you've discovered some issues with the Nokia S40 and with Mobile Java. What is your advice to users of the Nokia phone and to people who are also, you know, thinking about Mobile Java?
So the primary advice is to be really to think twice before, you know, downloading and executing any Java application on a mobile phone. So one of our missions of our company is to simply investigate security of technologies that you know people use, and so part of this mission is to simply deliver a message to people that, you know, your phone could be hacked in a very similar way PC computers are hacked. So once the people are aware of this fact, their actions could simply be adjusted in a proper manner so that, you know, they could start behaving in a very similar way they behave when they, you know, use a PC computer. So before downloading some, you know, application like Java into their phone, they could just maybe think twice, you know, this could be some malicious application which could attack my phone and which could do something malicious that could install itself in the phone, that could hide its presence from me and that could simply do something malicious.
Thank you, Adam, and thank you for listening. Please join me again on www.computerweekly.com/podcasts.